Welcome to another episode of the Be Successful series. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to remind you, if you're an entrepreneur, to head over to dreambizcoaching.co. That's dreambizcoaching.co. So at Dream Biz Coaching, you can join our free community, world-changing entrepreneurs, to share ideas, network, and have fun with your peers, all while being free of the distractions on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of it. If you would like to support the work going on to create this content, courses, and interviews for you, become a member. We have three levels you can choose from. Our patron gets access to the uncensored portion of our podcasts, content not seen anywhere else on the internet, like funnel reviews, website hot takes, and what I think about the entrepreneurship world at this moment. You'll also get a 10% discount off any current and future courses released on the platform. Our partner gets everything in Patreon. Also, you get to view recordings of the group coaching sessions. You get 25% discount off of any course, and you get access to the group coaching community. Our highest level, our VIPs, well, they get everything. Everything the patrons and the partners do, it unlocks all of the courses. Yes, that's right. You pay $0 for the courses at this level. You also get to participate, if you so choose, in a quarterly roundtable meeting in order to discuss the development of the platform. You get to help build what you want to see. So head over to dreambizcoaching.co and become a member today. We would be honored to have you there. So welcome back, everyone, to the Be Successful podcast. I am very excited today to welcome my guest, Erica Appelroos. And I hope I got that name right. I got pretty close, I'm sure. All right. She's giving me the thumbs up. So I got it right. So Erica's area of expertise is all around decision making for the stressed out online entrepreneur and small business owner. A lot of times in the entrepreneurship world, you come up against these times of you have to make these snap, quick decisions. And how do you know if you're making the quote unquote right decision for you, for your business, for your team? It can be a very stressful and challenging thing to work through. Well, Erica is an expert in helping you take all of the factors of your decision-making process and bringing them together in a holistic fashion so you feel more confident and comfortable in that decision-making process. So instead of me just rambling on about how great she is at what she does, I'm going to introduce you all to Erica and get a little bit of her background and story, and we're just going to have a great conversation. So Erica, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Okay, thank you so much, Brian, for having me on your podcast, and it's been a delight getting to know you, and I'm glad to be here. And thank you also for the great introduction. And as you say, decision making is something that has hit us entrepreneurs, especially now since COVID and the pandemic, where the uncertain future, which is always uncertain, it will always be uncertain, of course it will, but it's become sort of even more uncertain because the rules and the conditions are changing day to day, almost, or week to week, and we don't know what the next month will bring us. So people are suffering from indecisiveness, from fear of the future, fear of making the wrong decision and losing money, losing their livelihood. And that's where I thought I'd use my experience and create an online course, a sort of a six-step system that would provide you with a framework you need to feel confident that you make the right decision in the moment that you need it.
That's amazing. Yes, this time has hit a lot of people, you know, very hard, you know, and some more than others, obviously, you know, especially if you're already in business and you've had to make that quick pivot to a more online or a more digital model when you've always been that in-person, you know, one-on-one contact type of business or just solopreneur. Yeah, it can be very jarring. So How did you get into this world of making the right decisions and having a holistic view and gathering all these data points? Like, how did this come about for you?
Well, once upon a time, there was a little girl. Do you want to hear a fairy story?
I love it. I love your style. Please tell me a story.
Well, this little girl, she had a dream, and she wanted to move to East Africa and grow blueberries and become a famous scientist exploring the innermost secrets of the cells. And I'm sure you have had dreams when you were a kid. Maybe not the one about growing blueberries in East Africa, but then I was a peculiar child because, of course, that girl, that was me. And, you know, we all have these dreams. We want to do things. We have passions. But I grew up and, you know, these dreams, they became more and more buried underneath the layers of wanting to do the right thing, not wanting to disappoint people, parents, teachers, friends. You know, and also in my teens, I became very religious. And so I wanted to do the good thing, the right thing, God's will and everything, what the church said, things like that. And as teenagers go, you know, we tend to see things as black or white and no nuances in between.
Boy, is that ever
none
true.
Whatsoever. That's the teenage word. So I went all in. And of course, as I saw it, from that standpoint, everything that I wanted, all my passions, my desires, they were all on the black side. And all the good stuff, the moral things, the things that God wanted, that all on the white side. So to do the logical thing, because I was a very logical person, I decided that what I could do was to suppress my own will as much as I could. And then I reasoned, if I do that, then I will be able to make all the good and right decisions that will make me a good person. So I trained very hard at doing that. As soon as I wanted to do something, it could be, you know, I want to see this film, I want to eat this food, I did the opposite. And it was a very effective training. And I don't recommend doing it to anyone. Not at all. Because of course, it did not give the results I wished for. Not at all.
Right. It's almost like self-torture in a certain respect, you know, denying everything that you that you want and just going the opposite way. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. I was almost too successful. So finally, I found that I'd almost forgotten how it felt like to really want something. So I couldn't choose. I couldn't make any decisions. It was all the same to me. Of course, I could make all the rational analysis. If someone asked me, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go here or do you want to go there? I could see the advantages of going here and the disadvantages. And I could, you know, argue. But I couldn't feel what I wanted. And needless to say, it didn't bring me any closer to anything like God's will or things like that. And my theology has changed a lot since then. And if I think anything about a higher will these days, I think it can only be found in the process of finding ourselves. You can't separate those. Anyway, that's the beginning of my long journey towards the hard work of regaining the access to what I wanted to be able to make true decisions. So I started to search for passion, for meaning. Because everything we do, if you think about it, everything you do is based on you having made a decision to carry out that intention.
Absolutely. Everything.
From you getting up in the morning to choosing your career, small and big. And if you don't know what you want, if you don't know who you are, all decisions will be difficult to you. And that's the position where I were. So I had to start with finding my true self, finding what I wanted, my passion. And it led me into philosophy. So I'm a philosopher to my profession. It led me into theology. So my subspecialty is philosophy of religion. And I found the existentialist freedom of choice Sartre said that we are condemned to freedom. And I found that that was frightening almost. We are so free in our choices that we are condemned to freedom. So it's got to, do you get me? It's frightening.
I don't know. I guess exploring that concept a little deeper might help my clarity on it, because for me, when I say the word freedom, the word condemnation never correlates within that. That's not something I have ever like put together, being condemned to freedom. Although I do love philosophy, like that was one of my favorite classes, you know, in college was philosophy. So I could get into that for days, but but it's a very interesting statement that I'm not sure I agree with at this point.
No, I mean, we won't go deep into philosophical discussion, but I think what Sartre meant by that is that you can never, you can't escape your responsibility for the decisions you make. And sometimes it would feel so easy. It would feel so good not having to make a decision. And sometimes that's what we do. We just wait. We procrastinate and hope that someone else will make the decision for us, or the situation will take care of it so that we don't have to do anything, or some authority will tell us what to do.
Yes, but we are definitely programmed, pre-programmed genetically to look to a leader or to take the easy way. You know, that's why the whole business world works, because you're either doing one of two things. You're either going towards pleasure or you're avoiding pain. And what you've just mentioned is the avoidance of making that decision could be thought of, at least at a subconscious level, as avoiding pain, someone avoiding pain, because what if they make the wrong decision or it affects the wrong person? Or so, it's that absolutely happens.
Yeah, so that's the aspect that when you don't make that decision, the condemnation part of it is that you can't escape making the decision. Even if you don't make it, you have made the decision to hand it over to someone else, and that is your responsibility too. So you always are responsible for your decisions. And so that's what got me into the track of decision making and theories of decision making, and what makes us tick, what makes us want some things and not others, what makes us take these big decisions, risk things, or for some people not to risk things, and what are the underlying, you know, fears and biases, and what makes us work as human beings. I'm fascinated by that.
Me too. Being a student of just humans and human behavior and you know, why we work, why we work with each other the way that we do and how we do, it's an amazing thing to sit back and watch and to study. Absolutely. So with all of your vast, like really life experience in this whole decision-making process and world, and then the learnings and the mentorships that you've had on top of this, what have you found is the best way to go forward, and what have you developed for that struggling entrepreneur that needs some help making these decisions?
Okay, well, it's difficult to say that in a few seconds, but what you do need is first you need a couple of mindset changes, I'd say. The realization that what makes a decision the right decision or a good decision is not necessarily dependent on the outcome of the decision, because that's in the future and you have no control over factors that could happen in the future. But what makes a decision a right decision or a good decision is the decision process, that you take into account everything you can possibly take into account at the present moment. So making that distinction takes a lot of pressure out of the decision making. Because if you have taken everything into account and sort of stack the odds in your favor, then you can feel confident you've made a good decision. Even if something out of the something makes the outcome be more less to your favor. Let me give you an example, a very simple example. When I got in my not this my present partner, but my previous partner, when we got married, we planned to have an outdoor reception. Okay. And the weather forecast was rain. There was 80% risk for rain. So what should we do? We really wanted to have an outdoor reception. So we planned for, we hoped no rain, And we bought this party tent that we put out in the garden. We laid it out with snacks and drinks and things. Okay, and we went off to church. Off we went, and back we came, and we found the party tent securely anchored, not in the ground anymore, but up high up in the apple tree.
Because
the wind and the rain had just pushed it away. So we didn't get any shelter for the rain, but we did get a good story to tell for years later, and our guests all were provided with some conversation starters, so that was good. Anyway, that was a good story, but our decision to plan for an outdoor party with 80% chance of rain, that wasn't a good decision, right? Do you agree on that?
Yes,
because we were. So, but if we had planned for an indoor reception with the 80% risk for rain, and it had turned out that it was all sunny outdoors, we would still have made the right decision. Do you agree?
Yes, because it would have been, at least not knowing the whole situation, the whole party arrangement, it would have been fairly easy in my view to say, okay, it didn't rain, let's all go outside.
Yeah, that's a possibility. And if we did make the decision to have it outdoors and it rained as it did, it was a bad decision, not necessarily because it rained, because it could have been sunshine, but that then we would just have been lucky. Right. All we could have done in beforehand was to look at the prognosis, the weather forecast, 80% risk of rain. The logical thing to do is to plan to be indoors.
Right.
So if you make the decision from whatever facts are available to you, so you can make an educated guess. And most decision situations are much more complex than this, of course. You have to guess about politics, you have to guess about, but you, if you, the more information you take in, you make the risk analysis, and then you make your decision, then you can feel confident that your responsibility is over. Okay? You've stacked the odds in your favor, and then whatever happens, you've made a good decision. So that's the first mind shift that you need to get. And then you also need to get very clear on your own values, where you want to go in life.
Mm.
So not to focus on individual decisions all the time. Let's say that, I'll give you an example for this too.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Right now I'm in Madeira. This is, which is a Portuguese island, 3.5 hours flight time from mainland Portugal, but my home is in Sweden. Okay, so this is my situation now. My present situation is I'm on this island, and if I want to go somewhere else, that would be a desired situation. Say I want to go home to Sweden, that's my desired situation. Then I have to make a choice how to find the best way to go there. That's what our decisions are. That's what we do when we make decisions, right? We try to find the optimal way to move us from an unsatisfactory situation to a situation where we want to be.
Of course, the path of least resistance.
Yes, the best way. So I could look for the flights. Should I go to Lisbon and then to Copenhagen and then to Sweden? Should I go to London? Different flight routes, different times of day, different prices, and I'll find the best one. But imagine that I didn't know where I wanted to go.
Well, yeah, if you don't know where you want to go, if you don't know where you want to go, you could end up anywhere.
I could end up anywhere. And I would be in the hands of anyone who gives me a ticket, a plane ticket. And I just take it. It sounds like a good price. I take it. Oh, only two stoppers. I take it. And I don't care where if I end up in China or America or wherever. But many people are like that when it comes to making decisions. They're not really clear on where they want to go. You know, you, as an entrepreneur, you go for all these shiny objects. It's a good price. Let's take it. But you haven't really thought through. Does this take me where I ultimately want to go?
Right.
So that's the second sort of mind thing you need to do, is to become clear on your ultimate values. So that's the foundation.
And you had mentioned before that you have a six-step or a six-pillar way of helping people create these informed, mm-hmm. holistic decisions. Now, was this just pillar one and two that we just covered right here?
Yes, this was pillar one, really. This is laying the foundation. But once you have that foundation, the next step is to learn how to make a irrational, but using your rational mind. How do you do? Most people, they get as far as, you know, you do a pros and cons list. And that won't take you very far at all. So don't do that. But how to evaluate your alternatives. Maybe you have a few alternatives that you choose among, some options. How to put up criteria that are in alignment with your values for how to evaluate these options. I mean, for me to go home to Sweden, maybe one of my criteria is that I want not to spend too many hours on the plane. One criteria might be I want it to be a cheap one. You know, you list different criteria, and right. then you evaluate the alternatives. So to learn how to do that in a more complex way, because often not all of the criteria are equally important to you. Mm. So you weigh them. You put a weighted percentage on them. So I do teach some ways of how to evaluate your options and make a risk analysis. So basically how to go about making a rational decision, and then you arrive at a sort of a tentative decision. The next step that you learn, but in implementing it all, it becomes intertwined. But you need to be aware of your unconscious biases, that we are hardwired in our brains from you know, our reptilian brain, early evolutionary survival mechanisms. So we can never get rid of our unconscious biases, but if we are aware of them, we can mitigate them.
Hey there, my friend. Just wanted to ask you a question real quick. Have you been thinking about starting a podcast to promote your business? I know, it's on your to-do list, but it takes so much time and you're too busy, right? Wrong. What if you could be guided on how to get on Spotify in a week or less, just by spending an hour every day? You know, a podcast is a great way to build relationships with your fans and grow your brand, but all those excuses are out the window. I created Podcast Pride just for you, the busy entrepreneur with a great business and lots to offer. Inside Podcast Pride, you'll see how you can have an attractive show thumbnail in minutes, an easy way to generate 50 plus show topics so you never run out of ideas, an organic social media method that works to promote your show. And there's more on the inside that you'll get access to. So stop saying someday and head over to dreambizcoaching.co/PP and let's get your show on the road.
So what would be some, and just say, let's one example of an unconscious bias that might come up while we're doing the analysis of the, you know, of all the different factors that weigh mm-hmm. on us to making a decision. What's what, and I almost feel like what you're saying could be correlated to, you know, what's known in the coaching world as limiting beliefs. So what would be an example of one of those unconscious biases coming forward?
Well, one that comes up a lot in our entrepreneurial daily work is the risk avoidance bias. Because over centuries, millennium, you know, there has always been a higher cost if you are not afraid of a danger, then you risk getting eaten. And if you run away, even if it's just the wind rustling in the bushes, I'm not a hungry lion. But if you run away every time you hear something scary, you stand the highest chance of surviving, right?
That's very true. It's the fear of the unknown, or I guess you could even correlate it to the fear of failure, or the failing to live if you try to steal that antelope from that hungry lion.
So that is one of the, it's really hardwired in us, our tendency to look for dangers and avoid risks. So that if you're aware of that and knowing that your subconscious biases function that way, and it's not very good at numbers or probabilities, if you add that, you should be very not trusting your gut feeling when it comes to numbers, to say it straight on. If you were offered either to get $800 cash now here in your hand, or a chance of winning 800 or an 85% chance of winning $1,000, which one would you choose?
That's very interesting. I believe I would choose the 85% chance of winning $1,000.
Okay, then you are one in a minority. Because studies have shown that most people, they take the safe bet. They take the 800 in cash because you know that you have them. Even though the most rational thing to do would be as you did. Hooray for you. Because 85% chance of winning $1,000, that is a means of $850. Which is higher than 800. But most people, they don't reason that because of the risk aversion bias. There's a risk that you will lose it.
But so you the thing is, though, I never had it. Had it to begin with before this offer. So you have to look at, you know, like I just did in my head right now when I played this scenario, I had to look at my life and evaluate, okay, how is my life going right now? Is this $800 really vital for me to support myself, support my existence? No, it's not. So I'll take the 85% shot at getting $1,000.
Yeah, that's a great decision. I applaud it. But so another example of this is risk. Well, it has to do with the risk aversion too. It has to do with the sunk cost mistake, the sunk cost bias. If you've already poured in a lot of time, energy, money into a project, whatever it is, could be in your business, it could be in your personal life, I bet that you feel it's more difficult to drop it.
Oh, 100%.
Let's say that the project is not generating any revenue, it's not fun to do, you hate it, but you've already invested so much in it, so you can't, you know, one way you know that the best thing would be just to drop it, leave it be, recognize it as a mistake and do something else. But since you have invested, and that's what's called sunk costs. And they are called sunk costs because, just like a sunken ship, you can never retrieve them. It's money, energy, time that you've spent that you won't get it back.
Yep.
And that's the bias. You won't get it back, but the psychological thing is that you think, I have invested, so I need to carry on. But you don't really.
No.
Whether you carry on with the project or whether you don't, you still won't get back that invested money or energy or time. It's lost forever. So what you need to do really instead of getting stuck on those sunk costs is to see what are the opportunity costs that I'm missing by carrying on, sticking to this by continuing in this project that I'm continuing the Lucy Bunny and energy and good feelings on. What could I have done instead?
Yeah.
That's the opportunity cost. So you have to sort of weigh sunk cost, which you'll never get back anyway.
No, you won't. And I love it how you've basically just flipped the script on this whole idea of FOMO or fear of missing out. So you have to analyze what you might be missing out on, you know, if you're gonna keep bailing water out of this sinking ship.
Yeah.
And that's you're talking about my first business right there.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What happened?
My first business, it was going to be the Angie's List of natural healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my personal belief is that Western allopathic medicine has too big a hold on us as humans. And a lot of it we don't need. A lot of it we've been sold that we need, but we truly don't. So my idea was, people, if they had more knowledge and they had more access to quality holistic healthcare providers, that the world would change, you know, I would be doing good for other people and the money would just roll in. And all I need is a good website with a lot of automation and some ads, and everything will work out and I'll be rich. Well, that's not what happened.
Okay.
So I bailed water out of that sinking ship for probably 2 years. And, you know, by the time that year three rolled around, I realized, okay, this isn't working. It's not fun anymore. I'm financing my business from my personal checking account and I'm done.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to really recover from the sting of that. But once I came out the other side, I realized that even though what you were saying, you'll never get that time and energy and effort back, and I won't. But the thing that I think will help a lot of people out listening to this right now, if they are on that ship that's sinking, is you might never get that time or energy or money back, but also what have you gained from that?
Yeah.
What experiences, what skill sets, what mindset shifts have you gleaned from doing those tasks and from learning how to be this entrepreneur? That's something that can never be taken away. So if you have that kind of perspective, you can start looking more favorably, I feel, at the FOMO or what you might be missing out on if you keep bailing water out of that ship instead of just letting it go.
Yeah. That's a very good perspective too, because we always learn from our mistakes. And we learn from our experiences, not only our mistakes. And that is also a thing that I advocate for decision-making, because decision-making is a skill that can be improved. And it gets improved by feedback. And what you just described is a perfect example of how you got feedback from, you tried something, the reality responded, and you learned something, and you could change your behavior. You could do it differently the next time. And it's the same, how you improve your decision-making too. So to keep some kind of track record, what made you make a certain decision and not, and then learn from the outcomes and what you could perfect and make better. It's like when you play the piano, where you practice your Swedish pronunciation, you need to get a good teacher. Or coach that would give you feedback and say, well, correct this a little bit and you will get better. So with practice, anyone can get better at making good decisions. That's my belief, that we all have it in us. The problem is that many people, they don't seem to think of decision-making as a skill. I don't know how many people I've talked to and say, oh, a course in decision-making. Never seen that before. Decision, that's just something you do, isn't it? Well, yeah, in a way it is, but since it is, I mean, since decisions, they pave the way for everything in life. I think it's quite natural that I would want to improve my skills in something that is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without actually making the decision to, you know, do whatever it is, you know, to get healthy, to start exercising, to, you know, to stop smoking, or to, you know, start building that business that you've been dreaming about for years. Just that aspect of making a decision is one of the most vital parts of actually making it manifest. I mean, the other part is taking action on the decision. But, you know, without actually making that decision, it's like that whole saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, the horse has to decide that they're going to drink.
Yeah. Exactly.
So in the vein of actually helping people make these decisions and getting them that support and really going deeper into their own understanding so they can make those decisions for themselves, for their businesses, their lives better. You had mentioned a course. So you have a course to help people with this, correct?
Yes, I do. It's a 6-week online course. You can take it wherever you are in the world. And it contains all these steps. I haven't gone through all of them yet. I still have 3 to go. But it goes through all these holistic steps, the rational methods you need, the unconscious biases you need to be aware of, your values and personality priorities, and how to work with other people when they are sort of, you have to make joint decisions maybe, how to do that. And when people are not happy with your decision, what to do, how to prevent that. And also, not the least, how to tap into your intuition in a positive way. I mean, your subconscious biases, that's also your intuition that will lead you astray. But your intuition is also very trustworthy in some situations, especially with people, to judge other people, say trustworthiness, and a lot of other situations where you really can learn how to tap into your gut feeling better. So that's what I teach in this 6-week course. And there are recorded lectures and a lot of worksheets and templates to use. And each week we have a live group coaching session where we practice, we do some exercises, we learn how to practice tapping into your intuition now, and I explain the different strategies. And towards the end, the goal of the whole course is for each participant to create his or her own sort of personalized strategy. I provide templates and decision-making journals and flow charts on Excel, so you can use whatever method suits you, but where you can put in, okay, is this a big or a small decision? Then you go here. Does it involve other people or not? Yes or no? Then you go there. What do I need to think about now? Do I need to make a risk analysis? Do I need to make a simple one? You know, so that you know, so you create that process. And the whole course finishes that with each of the participants getting an hour's personal call with me where we can go through their decision-making strategy and see that every bit is in place. And I will work with the person until it does. So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
It is. And I've just finished the cohort of students, and I got some remarkable happy responses. So I'm very happy about that. I've been able to be of help for people in their businesses to make better decisions and to become clear on how to do it. So I'm glad. I really am.
Yeah, that's so great, because I was going to ask you, is it just an online course, and what kind of other support do you have for people out there? But it really does sound like you have, you know, what I would view as the whole package for someone who is unsure about their decision-making process or wants to optimize their level of decision-making, especially if perhaps they've just, you know, up-leveled their company or the amount of people in their company, which can be, I'm sure, a great level of stress on a new entrepreneur. So this is great. This is great stuff. So Erica, where can people find this amazing course and start the process of working with you?
Okay, the best place to start would be to go to my website, which is decisionmakingstrategy.com.
Perfect.
Decisionmakingstrategy.com. And there I announce when the next course starts. The next course starts is already on April the 5th. So that's the new. And then again, it will be after, or late summer will be the start of the next course. So that's it. And I also work one-on-one with people if they want to have individual coaching sessions. And it's possible to, I mean, you do get the tools that you need by taking this course, but for people to want to carry on working with me, that's also a possibility to have regular meetings to go through the process to get sure on how to apply it when you have a big decision coming up. So that's also possible.
Okay. So, perfect.
Yes. It's great fun. And I like it very much to be able to provide this, because I find there's nothing out there. I'm so surprised. Of course, there may be something out there. I can't promise that, but I haven't found really anything of this kind that takes in all these aspects.
Yeah, and it's not really out front in the public or even in the entrepreneurship world. You know, there's so much in the entrepreneurship world that focuses on just marketing, just the idea of, if you do this strategy or you do this tactic or if you buy this software, whatever, that you know, you'll be able to have all the business and all the clients that you want. And that's so much of where the focus is in the entrepreneurship world. And you're right, that the idea of a course on decision making, it just hits you, and it makes you pause, but it makes you instantly think, I wonder if there actually is more to decision making than just making a decision.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it is. I mean, you have a driver's license, you drive a car?
Yes,
so do I. I mean, I had to go through a course to get my driver's license. And I bet you wouldn't get into a car with a person who hasn't got his or her driver's license, because that's the proof that they know what to do.
Not one that works anyways.
No, not one that works. And I mean, in the same way, I mean, people take courses in copy editing, they take courses in Excel, and all of those things that are good. You need to know those things. But how to make the decision for what to write the copy about, or what product to market in the first place, or, you know, that's the big decisions. And then you just do it. So, and I wouldn't want to be, you know, a business partner or a client to a person who is not a skilled decision maker. Risking my well-being or my investments. But there are, unfortunately, there are no driver's licenses for decision making, because I mean, it's not a deadly, we're not putting other people in deadly danger as we are when we drive a car, but we do put people in danger. If we make bad decisions, it can affect people's financial well-being and everything. So yes, I think it's an overlooked aspect of entrepreneurship and business. And also, I found an article in, you know, McKinsey reports.
I've heard of it, but I've never read it.
Okay, they do write a lot and do a lot of research about business, and especially larger corporations. But they did say, analyze the trends, upcoming trends for 2021. And one of the three, I should have looked this up, but I didn't. So of course, I only remember one of the three big trends, and that was decision-making. That they said that the businesses would do well in focusing on becoming better at making good decisions. So that's something. And also they made another research on, they analyzed 1,000 big corporate business decisions. And what they found was very intriguing, because those companies that had taken into account consciously the awareness of our unconscious biases, that they are there, they lifted it up and tried to mitigate it. Those business decisions had a 7% higher revenue, is that what we call it? Return mm-hmm. of investment, than those who didn't. So having a decision-making process that is holistic, that does take in all these aspects that I've been talking about, it does have financial implications. You do earn more money if you take into account all the aspects of having a good decision-making process in place. That's what all the research shows.
Anyway. There you go. The research shows it. And there you have it. You will have an ROI if you invest in yourself and you invest in your business through the aspect of making a better decision. So Erica, one more time, where can people find you and start working with you and get access to this incredible process that you've put together over your lifetime?
Okay. I'm on the internet, and the website is, https://, you know what you put in the beginning,
right.
But then it is decisionmakingstrategy.com. Decisionmakingstrategy.com. And there you can find the links to enroll.
And I will be sure to link that in the comments, in the show notes, and that way people can go there and start working with you and get access to this amazing course that goes in depth into the decision-making process so that they can have better access to more of whatever they want to create. Whatever you want to create in your world, in your life, in your business can be had through making more powerful and better decisions. Erica, this was an absolute pleasure. I had so much fun talking to you and delving in deep into the decision-making process. So thank you so much for everything that you do out there in the world.
Okay, and thank you, Brian, for doing your what you call it? I forgot.
Podcast.
I lost your podcast. Yes. Yeah. And reaching out to people to get help in their lives.
Well, you're very welcome. And like I said, this is one of the things that I take joy in, to be able to talk to other like-minded people that are out there to make a positive difference in the world, especially in the areas of entrepreneurship. So it was my pleasure. So thank you so much, my dear. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Okay. The same. I wish you too. Thank you.
You're very welcome.